Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now the set of the pitch. Swinging a ground ball left side toward the hole. Diving stop Rendon. To his feet. The throw to first. The stretch by Adams. He's out. He's out. And a curly W's in the books.
Hello and welcome into another post-game edition of the Racing Presidents Podcast. I'm Tim Shovers, joined alongside Todd Divas. We're coming to you live from Camden Yards after the Nationals beat up on the Orioles 8-1. It was just 2-1 after five innings. And then the Nats were able to knock out starter Asher Wojciechowski of Baltimore. And then they really packed it on. 2 in the 6th, 1 in the 7th, 1 in the 8th, and then 2 in the 9th for good measure. And Todd, one team tonight looked like a team that might be headed to the playoffs in a few months, and the other looked like the worst team in baseball.
Both accurate takes on your part, Tim. Congratulations. You are off to a hot start on this podcast. Yeah, I hadn't seen the Orioles much, if at all, this year. You know, and you know they're bad, right? You know the Marlins are bad. But
we've mentioned that once or twice here.
Yeah, but these guys, just the small things they were bad at, the most important things they were bad at, just all around.
What about where they balked in a run and bad throw to first and wild pitches? And
I think that balk is a great microcosm because of how it went.
And now a balk has been called and the Nationals will score. Oh my, an infield hit, a stolen base, a wild pitch and a balk. Nationals lead 4-1.
Brian Dozier was on first. They don't pay any attention to him, so he steals second. And then there's a wild pitch that moves him to third and then he balked him in. I mean, this is preposterous. That's like Bad News Bears style to give another team a run, let alone a team that's been on fire for almost 2 months now.
Yeah, Nats make zero contact, get a run.
Yeah, what are we doing? Yeah, terrible.
We're going to get to the offense in a second, but I do want to start with Austin Voth, who gets the win here, is his first of the season. Austin Voth, it started out like a nightmare for him. In the first inning, he loaded up the bases by walking guy and hitting two in a row. And then he gets out of it, and it was the single worst inning I've ever seen by someone who came out unscathed. But he did come out unscathed and only gave up one run the entire evening and threw six frames. And Todd, I know that there's a lot in play here. We're going to get to the pitching situation, the rotation later on in this podcast. But he definitely made a solid audition in terms of staying up at the big league club.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we just heard David Martinez mention post-game is that Voth tends not to get rattled.
Yeah, he settled down, and he was awesome. I mean, he settled down, started throwing strikes, got command of all his pitches.
I think we've seen Eric Fetty get rattled when he gets in trouble. We've seen Joe Ross, when things aren't going his way, gets kind of rattled. Whatever term you want to use there for them not recovering well, that doesn't seem to happen to Voth. So Davey Martinez likes what he's seen from him so far, and he even said, I'd prefer him to stay up here with us if, you know, it works out. We'll see Eric Fetty in the same park on Wednesday, and then we'll see what they do from there. They'd certainly prefer this to be one guy at the back of the rotation.
Offensively, this park is a beautiful park. I'm going to talk about that later.
True.
But it does have a DH here because we're in the American League Park. So it's not a real baseball game, but it's close because we have a designated hitter situation. I'm an NL snob. Oh, and Todd hits his head. That's because in this moment, the Phillies walk off the Dodgers. They win 9-8.
Thanks to a Bryce Harper double.
And a line drive into center field. That's going to drop for a base hit. It gets past Pollock, goes to the wall. One run scores. Here comes Kingery. The Phillies are going to win the ball game. Bryce Harper hits a laser out to center field, and the Phillies win it 9-8.
Offensively, Todd, for the Nationals, a lot of guys had multiple hits here tonight, including Matt Adams and Juan Soto, who each hit bombs. Matt Adams hit a shot onto Utah Street. Juan Soto hit one dead center. His was 443 feet.
Pretty good.
Matt Adams hit one 396. The exit velocity on Juan Soto's home run, 111 miles per hour, according to Baseball Savant. Also, Tony Two Bags lived up to it tonight, had a couple of those, just doing what Anthony Rendon does. And Ryan Zimmerman tonight, he goes 0 for 5, but he was the DH this evening.
Yeah, and you expect, we were talking about the Orioles, they give up a ton of home runs. You would expect the Nationals to
They're almost to a game. They've given up over 180 home runs, and this is game 94.
Right. It's obscene. And Soto had fouled the ball off of, like, the top of his foot two pitches before his home run. And so he takes another pitch, and then the next pitch, he cranks it out again. And I thought he was close, actually, on some really good swings before that, and I'm not that surprised that he was able to end up with a home run here. He just remains hot. He remains the guy we thought he was here in his second season. And you have to think, this is a huge extrapolation for another podcast, but you have to think, if they gambled with the idea that he can be our left-handed power bat, if we let another left-handed power bat go somewhere else in free agency, then they've won that gamble so far.
Has launched to deep right center field. Forget about this one. A tape measure home run for Juan Soto to right center has just come down. Nationals lead it 3-1.
On the pitching front, we do have some news here. Eric Fetty's going to get the start Wednesday night against the Orioles, and Max Scherzer, as of now, is slated for Sunday in Atlanta. Todd, walk us through the pitching rotation situation.
Yeah, Fetty here in a spot start on Wednesday bumps Steven Strasburg to Thursday in Atlanta. So the Nationals, assuming that Max Scherzer is able to make a start either Saturday when he's eligible to come off or Sunday, which is the more likely day in Atlanta, will have their top four pitchers against the first place Braves, all three of them on an extra day of rest, and Max Scherzer on a heck of a lot of rest.
2 weeks rest.
Yeah. So, you know, everyone will be bumped back. Strasburg will be bumped back a day. Patrick Corbin will be bumped back a day. And Anibal Sanchez will be bumped back at least a day, assuming he pitches on Saturday, and then Max Scherzer ends up pitching the fourth game on Sunday. So in a weird way, all of this has worked out for the Nationals. You know, they could have won very easily Sunday in Philadelphia when Anibal Sanchez pitched, and Max Scherzer did not. They're in a good spot to win here again in Baltimore on Wednesday. Then they head to Atlanta with all those guys with a little extra rest and a big series in front of them.
Yeah, if you could get a two-game sweep in Baltimore by pitching your fifth and sixth pitchers and saving your four best guys for Atlanta when the games count double, you know, in terms of a divisional hunt, that certainly is huge. The old, I know you're not a doctor, blah, 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 blah.
Only a doctor of love.
Do you have any concerns about Scherzer starting on Sunday? Do you think there's smoke and mirrors? Or do you believe, no, Max Scherzer, it sounds like they're being earnest, he will be starting Sunday in Atlanta?
That seems to make sense, but it also made sense when Scherzer was adamant, when was it that we talked Friday night in Philadelphia, that Tuesday here tonight was a very viable option for him at the time. He didn't get better between Friday and Saturday. He stayed the same. So that prompted them to then put him on the injured list and give him even more space to feel better. He threw from 75 feet today. Davey Martinez said he felt a lot better. Scherzer felt a lot better than he did the last time he threw, which was in Philadelphia the day they put him on the injured list. That didn't go as well. So that's probably a good sign for him. And we'll see what happens Thursday or maybe even Friday. But probably Thursday, I would assume he'll throw a bullpen session if he feels good on Wednesday. And then that will be the telltale sign, how he comes out of that. Anibal Sanchez can get ready in a hurry. He usually throws his bullpen sessions the day before he pitches, not 2 days before. So they can line it up however they want Saturday, Sunday, because they know what they have happening Thursday, Friday. That will all come off of Max Scherzer's bullpen session to come later this week.
The Big League Nats beat the Big League Orioles here tonight, as we mentioned off the top, 8-1. But in the minor leagues, in Double A tonight, we had a little bit of fireworks not too far away here, also in the state of Maryland. The Bowie Bay Sox, the Double A affiliate of the Orioles, no hit the Harrisburg Senators, who were visiting. Michael Bauman was the pitcher for the Bowie Bay Sox. He struck out 10. The final out that he got was against
Michael A. Taylor. Michael struck A. Taylor, out, I believe.
And it's a cold strike three. He has done it on a high fastball. The Bay Sox come out. They gather around Bauman, who threw up a right-handed fist pump. He has thrown a nine-inning no-hitter.
Yeah, and also, didn't recognize too many of the names, but Dante Bichette Jr. was one of the guys also in the lineup for Harrisburg tonight.
And Luis Garcia as well. So it's funny because we've been joking about the Senators roster because the Nationals keep putting kind of their 4A players onto that roster for proximity. They've had seemingly enough of the Fresno get him here, you know, planes, trains, and automobiles situation from out there.
You knew it was in for Fresno thing was not for long when in April, when on an evening game, Trey Turner got hurt, and they had to get someone in by a 1 o'clock game. It was the next day, I believe, against Philadelphia. And you were up searching the itinerary situation to get from Fresno to D.C. as soon as possible. And it was like, yeah, this is not going to work.
Yeah, no. And then when they did get someone here, then they didn't sleep all night. And then they had to, like, sleep through the late morning and into the early afternoon, then go out and do baseball things, even if they made it the next day. So they were all screwed up and basically not available that first day, typically, because of the travel. So it's not a great situation. We've been over the Fresno situation. It stinks, and they're going to have to figure it out as soon as the contract is up, do something much better.
Todd, I got here early. I beat the traffic. I got here. I kind of had the stadium to myself for a little bit. I was here at Camden Yards a few weeks ago, but I haven't been, you know, here early in a media capacity in a while. And I love Camden Yards. I think it's a fantastic spot. There were a few things where I kind of had the park to myself that I discovered here. One, there are some pillars kind of near the home plate entrance where it's like the history of Maryland's women's suffrage movements. I like history a lot. Really interesting stuff from the 19th century and early 20th century. So I suggest if you're into history and stuff like that, to check it out. And then on Utah Street, they have little plaques for every home run that's hit on Utah Street.
Right.
And that's the area between right field and the warehouse at Camden Yards.
Then they need a new plaque.
Yes, they will.
After tonight.
Matt Adams at the 102nd Utah Street home run ever. The stadium was opened in 1992. A couple of fun research items I found by doing my own crack research. Adam Dunn has the furthest ever Utah Street homer by a Washington National. That was in 2009. He hit it 442 feet.
Ooh.
The longest home run on Utah Street seemed to be Henry Rodriguez for the Montreal Expos. This was in June 17th of 1997. And right when I saw it, I was like, that's the first year of interleague play. I wonder if it was the first interleague game in Camden Yards. I looked it up. It was the second interleague game in Camden Yards. In that game, FP Santangelo hit leadoff for the Montreal Expos and went 2-for-3.
Oh, very interesting. Look at you snooping around and getting some fun facts out of Utah Street and the women's suffrage movement all in one day.
I think you know me now well enough that I love history and I love finding historical nuggets. Well, before we wrap up, Todd, and you get back at it for Wednesday's game with Eric Fetty on the mound as the Nats go for a two-game sweep here before they move their road trip down to Atlanta, any closing thoughts you have?
Yes, one thing that we didn't touch on real quick was who pitched in relief tonight. Tanner Rainey pitched an inning, but then Javi Guerra, still on the team apparently. We've been wondering where this guy is. He hadn't pitched since July 5th for some bizarre reason.
And if you missed Sunday's podcast, we felt he should have been the guy on the mound pitching Sunday in the ninth inning.
Yeah, instead of Matt Grace after Jay Bruce. But so he pitched two innings tonight. So Wander Suero warmed up, but did not come in the game. Sean Doolittle did not come in the game. 42-year-old Fernando Rodney did not come in the game. If they're lucky, they get to avoid at least one of those guys, starting with Doolittle again tomorrow, and then kind of take it from there. We'll see how it works out. But the tack-on runs tonight allowed them to do that. Javi Guerra's been effective since he's been here.
Yes, he has.
I mean, so I'm stunned by how much he has not pitched over the last almost 2 weeks, 10-plus days. Again, the All-Star break is the caveat in there. But two innings from him tonight in the tack-on runs, this is what you're supposed to be doing if you're the better team against the worst team in the major leagues. It's supposed to be an easy night for you. It's supposed to be some offensive padding. It's supposed to be a night off for your bullpen. It's supposed to be a game that you can win with the back end of your rotation. So far, after the first night, all those things worked out for the Nationals.
Yeah, it couldn't have gone better for Davey Martinez, by the way. Update in Milwaukee, the Braves trail 5-1 in the bottom of the seventh, so the Nats are 6 outs away from picking up a full game on Atlanta tonight if that final score holds. Please subscribe to the Racing Presence. Also, the Capitals Talk podcast, part of our NBC Sports Washington podcast family, did an emergency podcast tonight for Jacob Verana signing, 2-year deal on that. So Rob, Ryan Billy, and Brian McNally recorded that one. On Wednesday night after the game, we'll have Todd and Ryan Warmly give you a post-game podcast. As we do, remember, we're all in for 162 on the Racing Presence. We'll talk to you soon, everyone.
233 average, 8 doubles, 13 homers, 37 runs batted in, and a swing, and a long drive to right. Going, going, and gone, goodbye. Bouncing toward the B&O Railroad Warehouse. Down the right field line, and for Matt Adams, who came into this game in a 2-for-20 slump. 8 of his last 12 hits have been home runs. It's the Nationals 1 and the Orioles nothing.